and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his all, and the joy of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy
track means a true-loving daddy ain't coming back, 'cause I'm moving on.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Rogers Snow, son of country legend Hank Snow. By the way, you're listening to Wayback Country Jamboree with my good friend Johnny Woodlock, right here on CFRC 101.9.
You stayed away too long. I'm through with you, too bad you're blue, keep moving on.
Last friends, once again, we're back here on the Wayback Country Jamboree Morning Show, sitting on the other side of the third and final hour at 10 o'clock here this morning. And as we welcome y'all back in following those classic gospel favorites, and I would like to just remind y'all that we're still coming to you via the Woodlock Ranch and Studios in Cornwall, Ontario, also being carried and proudly aired over historic CFRC 101.9 FM from the heart of downtown Kingston, Ontario, the Limestone City of Canada. Now, as I welcome y'all to this third and final hour of this program today, I'd also like to play a double feature of one of the men who were born on this date, January 12th, 1905, 120 years ago. Yes, that was, of course, Tex Ritter, America's favorite cowboy star. With that, Tex sadly passed away on January the 2nd, 1974. That's 51 years ago. But this morning, in memory of his 120th birthday, I would like to remember him with another double feature and feature two of his classics here. First of all, it's going to be from the Grand Ole Opry Archives, High Noon. And then we'll follow that with Froggy Winnicorton. With that, I'd like to welcome you all to the third and final hour. Good morning, friend.
You know, it's kind of hard to figure out just the proper way to introduce this next fella. Speaking of Texas, while ago, of course, this is a fellow Texan of mine who has contributed so much to our country, field of music, and all-around entertainment. So about all I can say, here's one of his great songs, a fellow member of the Hall of Fame, Mr. Tex Ritter. How about it, huh?
Do not forsake me, oh my darling, on this our wedding day. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Wait long, train will bring Frank Miller. If I'm a man, I must be brave, and I must face a man who hates me. All I a coward, craven coward. All I a coward in my grave. Or to beat convicts, love and duty. Supposing I lose my fair-haired beauty. Look at that big hand move along near in high noon. He made a vow while in state's prison, vowed it would be my life or his. I'm not afraid of death, but oh, what will I do if you leave me? Not forsake me, oh my darling. Made that promise when we wed. Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Although you're grieving, I won't be leaving until I shoot Frank Miller dead.
Mr. Miles's door and a hole in the hay and a hole in the hay. Went up to Mr. Miles's door. Went up to Mr. Miles's door. She said, get away, you've been here before. Teeny Kymo in the land of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, come a rat trap, penny winkle, Tommy doodle rattle, bugger rat trap, penny, won't you kymo, yo? Took a Mr. Mousy on his knee, Took a Mr. Mousy on his knee, Took a Mr. Mousy on his knee. Well, he said, Miss Mousy, will you marry me, A little piece of cornbread lying on the shelf, and a hole in the hay, and a hole in the hay. Little piece of cornbread lying on the shelf, piece of cornbread lying on the shelf. You want any more, you can sing it yourself, Beamy Kymo in the land of Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Come a rat trap, penny winkle, Tommy doodle rattle, bugger rat trap, penny, won't you kymo? Kimbo, Kymo, hero, jero, hey. Come a rat trap, folly winkle, lolly, bubble rat trap, penny, won't you kind be old?
Yes, friends, following those classic Tex Ritter songs, we're back here, and it's once again that time to take our weekly trip down east to the good old Maritimes of Canada. And as we do this, let's send out Sunday morning greetings out to Peter and Myrna Trenholm in Pugwash, Nova Scotia. For them today, it'll be a classic song that Peter recorded, but was originally done by Boxcar Willie, entitled The Day Elvis Died. Then we'll follow with Michael T. Wall, our dear friend from the Rock of Newfoundland, and a classic rarity called called Menufi License Plate. And we wrap up this selection of great East Coast favorites with the song I discovered off an old LP record that I got some time ago, and it's called Willie's Yeller Pickup Truck. With that, it is also being sung today by Roy Payne of Newfoundland. I'd like to wish everybody a very happy Sunday out there in the East Coast.
That Elvis died. When Hank was called away, I cried all that day. The king of country music and the king of rock and roll, their songs warmed our hearts, their music touched our souls. So let your tears run down, don't you run and hide. I know why you cried the day that Elvis died. I heard the lovesick blues, and all of your life you were raised on blue suede shoes. Everybody needs a rainbow that they can look up to. What Hank meant to me, Elvis meant to you. So let your tears run down, don't you run and hide. I know why you cried the day that Elvis died.
Just after getting married, we went on our honeymoon. July of 79, that was the day. But when we got off the Nautica that took us across the Gulf, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Oh, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. We stopped off at Magnetic Hill and Moncton's Tidal Bore, where in summertime the tourists congregate. And when we drove into the city to find a place to park, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Oh, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. We continued driving westward until we reached Quebec. It was some fun driving, boys, and trying to translate. And when we got into Montreal in the 5 o'clock rush hour, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Yes, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. In Ottawa and Toronto, it wasn't quite so bad. Why, in Newfoundland, we say things were first rate. Some people waved and honked their horns on the 401. They all looked at me, Newfie license plate. Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Yes, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. Of course, by now we got used to it. So in Niagara Falls, our honeymoon, we began to celebrate. We drove through every part of town and did something so that they all looked at me, Newfie license plate.
Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Yes, they all looked at me, Newfie license plate. Meanwhile, back home in Newfoundland, there are very few who look what an RCMP in Springdale couldn't wait to nail me with a ticket just the other night, 'cause he couldn't see me Newfie license plate. Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Yes, he couldn't see me Newfie license plate. I guess in the summer of 79, about 3 million less one saw that orange blossom special ready eight. So when the Department of TNC decides to make a change, the archives will get me Newfie license plate. Newfie license plate, Newfie license plate. Yes, the archives will get me Newfie license plate.
Al Willie was a Casanova way back in 57. All the young girls thought that Willie dropped right out of heaven. All up and down the West Coast, old Willie was hot stuff. He stood as tall as Elvis in that yeller pickup truck. Now a man could drive a Rolls Royce or a custom Cadillac, and have tailor-fitting rags just a-clinging to his back. But standing next to Willie, you were always out of luck. The girls just wanted Willie and that yeller pickup truck. He had a fur-covered steering wheel and a cap full of colored bulbs, a red blanket covered seat and an ashtray full of butts. He had a glove compartment filled with chocolate bars and chewing gum. In everybody's rainbow was a yeller pickup truck. I guess all that Elvis music on that old truck radio must have got to Willie and that young girl down the road. Or maybe old Willie just ran right out of luck from spending too much parking time in that yeller pickup truck. Now the old truck is gone forever, but old Willie is still around. And you could see him every week and driving back and forth to town. Now he drives a station wagon, but it still ain't big enough to hold all his kids and memories from that yeller pickup truck. He had a fur-covered steering wheel and a cab full of colored bulbs, a red blanket-covered seat and an ashtray full of butts. He had a glove compartment filled with chocolate bars and chewing gum. In everybody's rainbow was a yeller pickup truck. Yeah, he had a fur-covered steering wheel and a cab full of colored bulbs, and a red blanket-covered seat and an ashtray full of butts. He had a glove compartment filled with chocolate bars and chewing gum. In everybody's rainbow was a yeller pickup truck. Yeah, in everybody's rainbow was a yeller pickup truck.
Hi friends, it's Peter Trenum from way down here in Nova Scotia. You're listening to my good friend Johnny Woodlock on the Wayback Country Jamboree on CFRC 101.9 FM.
To be ever with the Lord, you and me.
And yes friends, I would like to pay tribute to two of my favorite Elvis Presley songs that he recorded and during his recording career. Now, I had mentioned during the program that I was never a huge fan of Elvis. However, there was two songs that he recorded that are among my all-time favorite songs in his genre of music. And they are, of course, first of all, Are You Lonesome Tonight? And then we'll follow this with another classic titled In the Ghetto. With that, I'd like to wish everybody a very happy Sunday morning. And just remember Elvis once again with these classics from his library of music. Welcome in, friends.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted
Peter Park. Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. You know, someone said the world's a stage and each must play a part. Fate had me playing in love with you as my sweetheart. Act one was where we met. I loved you at first glance. You read your lines so cleverly and never missed a cue. Then came act two. You seemed to change. You acted strange. And why, I've never known. Honey, you lied when you said you loved me, and I had no cause to doubt you. But I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. Now the stage is bare, and I'm standing there with emptiness all around. And if you won't come back to me, then they can bring the curtain down. Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing she don't need, is another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. People, don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns. A hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. Then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries. As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And as her young man dies, on a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born in the ghetto.
In the ghetto. his mama cried.
Yes, friends, once again, it's that time in the program to reach the final part of a trimmed back interview and visit from 2023 with my good friend, the good Reverend of Nashville and the son of Hank Snow, Reverend Jimmy Rogers Snow, who I was honored to visit with over the phone in 2023. Now, we had planned for a half hour interview back then, but the interview lasted for almost 2 hours of sharing some memories and a lot of history on his father as well as his own career. So with that mentioned, this is a trim back final part of this interview, and following this interview we will hear his father's all-time classic number one hit, I'm Moving On. So with that, I would like to welcome back to the program here from 2023 a dear friend of mine and the good Reverend Jimmy Rogers Snow, son of Hank Snow.
Video on YouTube of you ministering against rock and roll, how did that ever come about?
Okay, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you worked with all these rock and roll people, kind of like I did there for mm-hmm. a while, I got to know Tommy Sands. I met Buddy Holly.
Yes.
There's articles about me being in February the 13th, 1955, when mm-hmm. Elvis did a show in Lubbock, Texas. I was on that show.
Okay.
And so was Buddy Holly. So we spent a lot of time, got to know each other down. He was a country singer. A lot of people are not aware that even Bill Haley started out singing country music until Rock O'Clock came out, and that changed everything for him. And because it wound up getting in a movie and winning, I think he won an Oscar for Song of the Year in that movie, Blackboard Jungle, with Glenn Ford.
Okay.
So you see, a lot of these things that people didn't understand, because you had three genres of music back in those days, Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even rock and roll yet.
No, for sure.
You had rhythm and blues, mm-hmm. that for all the black singers.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting pretty popular about then. Then you had, why were they popular? That's leading me to answering your question.
Yeah.
Because we were in the sex revolution at that time, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The teenagers were coming strong through movies like The Wild One. Well, he played a punk.
Yes.
In it. There was disobedient to his parents and drank and did all that stuff.
Okay.
And there were a lot of teen movies that came out at that time. Marlon Brando with The Wild One.
Yes, I was going to say Marlon. Yes.
Yeah, that Blackboard Jungle was about all these teenagers in high school that Glenn Ford was teaching how rotten and riotous they became. So there was a change.
Okay.
This was basically during my drinking days.
All right.
So I understood what was going on. And at that time, I was recording, and so I started changing a little at a time over. I wound up getting permission from my dad to do a little bit more with an upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to understand a little bit more about the music. So you had the black people with rhythm and blues.
Mm-hmm.
And you had pop music with people like Fat Boone, remember?
Yes, of course.
And Dean Martin and people along that line, and the females, mm-hmm. and then you had country, and yeah. then you had country and western, the
For
western
sure.
style, which mm-hmm. was big back in those days. So Elvis was the one. If you had a crossover that sold in all of these, you wound up becoming special and very noticeable. And Elvis was the one that tied all of them together, because if he had a major hit, it would be in the rhythm and blues magazines. It would be in the pop field. It would be in the country field.
It'd be a crossover.
It crossed over to all of them.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how that happened. And so I I remembered all of that, and I understood that what made rock and roll, it evolved more and more as time went by. But starting out in those early days, in the very early days, it would be more of the accentuation then was on accentuating the drum beat more, deeper and louder with the bass and piano, and the others, you know, would be kind of softened up in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, and the way you used your voice, especially Elvis,
yes,
that was referred to as flatback echo.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they would do two tape recorders when they recorded him to make him do like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do, yes.
Would go like that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on That's All Right, Mama and Blue Moon of Kentucky. Those
for
were
sure.
His first hit.
Yes.
So that opened the door. Now, when he became a star, he kind of changed a lot of that and just became his own voice, and he didn't want any gimmicks or tricks or anything, and started singing. So by then, he's a big enough, more powerful type person, and rock and roll becomes an acceptable thing in the country.
Yes.
But the teenagers went totally wild
during
that time. So by now, I have turned my life over to Christ, and I'm deciding to go into full-time ministry. Now, let me point out something, if I may, right here on that.
Sure.
Now, who in the world in their right mind, if you're making $350 to $450 a day,
yes,
you follow it now, in that day, for singing 20 to 25 minutes, all right, and get your encores and all that stuff, selling records, recording on the number one recording label in the world, RCA Victor.
Yes.
Who in the world in their right mind is on major TV programs like Lawrence Welk, where 77 million people were watching, because this is before satellite.
Yes.
This is before there were a lot of networks. You know, here in Nashville, we only had one channel, and that was Channel 4, WSM. That was it.
Okay.
WSM became the local channel here in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And then along came CBS, and then along came ABC and others and so forth. But until that time, they were the monopoly around the entire country.
Yes.
And so, who, if you're performing for 77 million on a major TV program, making that kind of money, would walk away from that to preach? And the last show I did was in Denver, Colorado, 12,000 people.
Okay.
I the encores that night.
Yeah.
Okay? That had it all on a gold platter like that, would be willing to walk away from that kind of fame and fortune. And more TV programs coming up and a renewed contract to preach, or try to preach, let me put it that way.
Yes.
I was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
25 people in a guy's house to a crowd of 100 to 150 people on the first couple of years I'm in the ministry.
Yes.
To making maybe $75 a week until I got going where I was then making $150 a week. No recording contract other than that which I'm willing to do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Who would walk away from that in their right mind? And when I came back to God, there was just something inside of my heart. I knew down deep in my soul that that's not what God intended. And, I liked all the people I worked with.
Yes.
They were my friends. I enjoyed immensely traveling around and performing. All of that. I enjoyed all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And what the money could do, things I could buy, places I could go.
Yeah.
I did not feel at peace. So at 2 o'clock in the morning one night, when I was attempting to kill myself with the gun that I carried off, I had been to see a movie called The Ten Commandments.
Okay, yes. With Charleston Heston.
Boy, yes. It nailed me. And I got down on my knees beside the tree that's still there today.
Yes.
And I said, God, if you're really real, I want you to make yourself real to me tonight. I can't go on like this.
Mm-hmm.
Touched me big time that night in the middle of the night. I dropped that gun in the front yard, and he called me full-time ministry, and I can't explain, the average person could never understand what it's like to have the call of God on your life.
For sure, yeah.
And I made up my mind that I was going to quit, and it was at Elvis Presley's house when I made the final decision. When I was saying goodbye to him and he had his arm around my neck, I said, oh, he asked me the question, what are you going to do now? I said, I think I'm going to go home and give up my career and go into full-time ministry.
Yes.
And I remember today what he said. He said, Jimmy, I think that's great, and I wish you all the best. That was the last time I saw Elvis Presley.
I see.
So how that message was born, to answer your question,
mm-hmm.
that when I started out in the ministry, I didn't know much Bible at all, and I didn't have a whole lot of things to preach. So why did people want me in their churches? Well, a lot of places didn't because they were scared of me.
Okay.
The ones that would have me wanted me for the crowds because they knew
who your dad was.
I would draw a crowd to their church.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to put them down for that because they were just being smart.
Mm-hmm.
They figured out, hey, this is a way of getting people to our church. And they knew that I wouldn't do anything to hurt them.
Yeah.
So to help make it up, everybody wanted to know how I wound up giving up a career like that
mm-hmm.
to do what I'm doing now. They couldn't understand that. They couldn't figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted me to give a testimony. So I put together this testimony, which included the world of rock and roll music, which was my last few recordings.
Yes.
Which are on YouTube today, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the very last one I did was a song I wrote called Rules of Love. And it's got the probably number one and two players in Nashville on it. The A artist players that are dead now.
Okay.
That played about every session behind everybody you can even think of.
Amazing.
They were on all records. They were something else.
Yes.
Grady Martin was one of them on the lead guitar.
Of course.
He played on everything. You look him up and you'll see how many people he played behind.
Yes, for
in
sure.
In rock and roll as well as in country.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Floyd Kramer.
Yes.
I'm sure that means he played piano on those sessions. Okay. And I had, you know, I had the names of different ones, bass players and so forth, that everybody used.
Mm-hmm.
And they understood, you know, the world of rock and roll that it was in that day. And so my message was primarily about the teenagers allowing themselves to get into this spirit of rebellion against their parents that mm-hmm. was going on all over the country.
Yes.
Well, I'm preaching about this, and I'm saying among these things, there are effects that the beat of the music today, not only in the country, but in the rock and roll field as well, is something that many of the DJs are now beginning to recognize has its effects.
Yes.
They're already doing bad anyway, so that mm-hmm. it's not like it started them into it.
Yeah.
It's primarily the thing that kind of added to it.
I see.
To their attitudes and to the sin and to the things that they were doing that I used to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm explaining all of this, and how that happened was some lady on a magazine, a Hollywood-type magazine, wrote an article about Elvis and me called Does Elvis Know His Friends Are Praying For Him? And it talks about the two of us and the different ways that we had gone, what Elvis went his way and wound up getting in the Army.
Yes.
And it was written out of the service. It was like a welcome home type article story. And Jimmy Snow went into full-time ministry. And when the NBC network saw this article, they called me. I was in Georgia preaching a meeting. This would have been 1960, I think.
Okay.
January 60. And they asked me if they could bring their cameras down and film my message. I said, I don't care. So they brought it down, brought their cameras down. They filmed the whole service that night.
Yes.
In order to edit it down to 5 minutes.
I see.
For the news on NBC in the evening. Now, remember now, the news in that day and time was not as big as it got later.
Yes, okay.
So this was a major thing. NBC was a major, major thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when they picked it up, American Bandstand with that guy, I can't remember his name, but you may remember
Dick Clark.
American Bandstand.
Dick Clark.
TV show. All right, they played it all the time about what, you know, it was edited down, and it was actually not exactly what I was trying to say.
I see. Okay.
So it was kind of led to what they wanted that to come out as.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never mentioned Elvis's name.
Okay.
He was my friend. Why would I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
And I wasn't throwing stones or rocks at anybody, but I was explaining how the beat and various things like that, it wound up becoming the major thing. Even to this day, if you go to Cleveland, Ohio, and you walk into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, first thing that you'll see when you walk in the front door is Jimmy Snow saying, it's the beat, it's the beat, it's the beat.
Yeah.
Even
okay.
to that. So it got misconstrued and turned around. And, you know, the more you try to defend things when they twist things around, the more you look bad.
Exactly.
So
that's for sure.
I never messed with it. But when people ask me, like you just did,
yeah.
then I try to explain that to them. That there was nothing, you know, that I understood what the beat was all about because I knew how it felt and what it did and how it added to things of that day. And if you're out there doing all these things, this just kind of puts the icing on the cake.
For sure, yes. Hopefully we can do something again in the future.
Sure, you call me anytime. You've got my number.
Okay.
Like I said, if you cannot get through, you leave a message, I'll call you back.
Okay, God bless you, Jimmy.
And you and your family. God bless you.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
You bet. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
These men come down here from New York and from Florida to find out my reasons on rock and roll music and why I preach against it, and I believe with all of my heart that it is a contributing factor to our juvenile delinquency of today. I 100% believe it. Why I believe that is because I know how it feels when you sing it. I know what it does to you. And I know the evil feeling that you feel when you sing it. I know the lost position that you get into in the beat. Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
That big eight-wheeler rolling down the track means your true loving daddy ain't coming back, 'cause I'm moving on. I'll soon be gone. You are flying too high for my little old sky, so I'm moving on. Big loud whistle as it blew and blew said, hello to the Southland, we're coming to you and we're moving on. Oh, hear my song. You had the laugh on me, so I've set you free and I'm moving on. Won't you please listen to me, 'cause I got a pretty mama in Tennessee. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. So shovel the coal, let this rattler roll, and keep moving me on. Mr. Engineer, take that throttle in hand, this rattler's the fastest in the southern land. Keep moving me on, keep rolling on. You're gonna ease my mind and put me there on time and keep rolling on. I've told you, baby, from time to time, but you just wouldn't listen, no pay me no mind. Now I'm moving on, I'm rolling on. Broken your vow and it's all over now, so I'm moving on. You switched your engine, now I ain't got time for a trifling woman on my main line, 'cause I'm moving on. You done your daddy wrong. I warned you twice, now you can settle the price, 'cause I'm moving on. But someday, baby, when you've had your play, you're gonna want your daddy, but your daddy will say, keep moving on. You stayed away too long. I'm through with you, too bad you're blue, keep moving on.
Once before we close out this program for this morning, I would like to share that this weekend we have been celebrating the music and the life of none other than Elvis Aaron Presley, who would have celebrated his 90th birthday this past Wednesday, the 8th of January, 1935 he was born, and he sadly passed away on August the 12th, 1977, at the young age of 42. Following his death, many legends of country music and other genres of music wrote and also recorded tributes to the King. With that mention, I would like to play a rare song called The King's Last Concert. It was recorded by the King of Country Music Recitations, the late great Red Zavine, also remembered as the King of the Truckers. With that, we'll be back following this to send us all home today. Now here's Red.
I was heading east on I-40 with a flatbed that couldn't wait. 'Cause I was due in Jackson on August the 15th, and here it was the 16th, and I was already late. Well, I had an Elvis tape on a new player in that old rig of mine, and a big jug of coffee to help me keep her between the lines. Well, I crossed the Great Divide about midnight, and it was cool, and she was running good. So I thought I'd put all the miles behind me that I could. Well, I must have been dozing, I guess, for an hour or more, when I rounded a turn into a valley I didn't recall seeing along here before. Well, I got to wondering that maybe I'd missed my turn along the way. Then all at once that whole valley got as light as day. Well, I pulled over and got out and took a look around. The sky was black, but I could see for miles, and there wasn't a sound. It was so quiet and beautiful out there. Well, it was like a dream. There were beautiful trees and mountains and even a little stream. And then suddenly there were thousands of people gathering as far as I could see. Young folks and old folks and kids all looking straight at that old truck and me. And then I heard something behind me. I turned around and, oh, what a sight to behold. There was Elvis Presley on my old flatbed, and it was solid gold. He stood there in a blaze of light against the black sky. He was smiling and waving, but with a soft contentment in his eyes. Oh, you should have seen that diamond-studded guitar and that pure white suit he wore. And then he started singing. Lord, it was like I'd never heard him sing before. And I was so scared I couldn't move. I don't know how long I just stood there. But Elvis sang every song he'd ever done. And music just seemed to come from everywhere. And then, one by one, angels appeared. And they came and sat around him. They began to sing along, and they placed a halo of light above him. Oh, this was a concert like I'd never seen before. And then it was over, and he was gone, just like you'd close a door. It got so dark I couldn't see, and for hours I just stumbled around. And finally I decided I'd wait till morning, and I sat down on the ground. And when it got light, well, I was out on a stretch of I-40 in the middle of nowhere. No trees, no valley, just my old truck sitting there. Well, I climbed in behind the wheel and headed east as hard as she'd go. Well, I was almost afraid to stop. I must have looked like I'd seen a ghost. But man, what a story I'd have for the rest of them gear jammers now. Well, I wheeled into the first truck stop I come to and shut her down. I was shaking like an old fender when I walked in, but I was going to act as natural as I could. So I dropped a quarter in the jukebox and told the waitress, "Hey, play something good." Well, I sat down and ordered a cup, thanked the waitress, and tipped her a dime. And then I picked up the morning paper, and I read the headlines. And then I knew I'd just seen the farewell concert of the King.
Elvis Presley, whose country rock guitar and gyrating hips launched a new era in popular music, died this afternoon at Baptist Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, at the age of 42. Presley had been taken to the emergency room suffering from what was described as respiratory distress.
Yes, friends, that's the headline that hit the news. On August the 12th, 1977, at 3:30 Central Standard Time in the afternoon, that the world lost its beloved king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. Now, as we play a song today, I would like to once again thank you, my loyal listeners, for allowing me to do this program to the 90th birthday of none other than Elvis Aaron Presley, who sadly passed away in 1977. However, would have celebrated his 90th birthday this past Wednesday. I'd also like to thank you, my loyal listeners, and also Jimmy Rogers Snow for appearing on the program today. However, gone for over almost 50 years, his legacy in country music and bluegrass music, yes, he even hit some of the bluegrass, but most of all, in the rock and roll field of music, his legacy will always and forever be remembered. I'd like to play us home this morning with a couple of songs, one being of Elvis Presley's best friend, the legendary gospel pioneer and singer, J.D. Sumner, and a reading called Elvis Has Left the Building. Then we'll follow with Elvis Presley himself and a song which I think sums up his career and his life. And that, of course, is a classic titled My Way. With that, yes, we'll be back next weekend as we pay tribute to another great country music legend. With that, may God bless each and every one of you and stay safe out there. It's a crazy world. So long, friends. Johnny Woodlock has left this building.
Precious men.
Time. Father, though this world has lost light, take care of business. That's what he'd tell us. You must carry on the fight. Even his daddy and little Lisa, they must accept what God has done. Even though, like our Heavenly Father, Vernon gave his only son. Now the show is over and the curtain has come down. Elvis has left the building, but will always be around. Precious memories flood my soul.
And now the end is near, so I face final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more. Much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway and more. Which holiness I didn't mind. My fill, my share of losing, and now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that.